You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Stugatz, I think you know how much I admire this woman and her work in journalism. Generations of Jenkinses have been writing about sports better than everyone else in the country. And Sally Jenkins at the Washington Post had the story this week, and I'll let her explain it to you. But Jerry Jones is in a photograph at 14 years old in 1957 in the middle of a civil rights unrest, and I'll let Sally take the story from here because it was a part of a much broader story she was working on that's got a lot of nuance in it. But that's the part that got the most traction, Sally, because I don't even know where this story started. How is it? I know you are always holding owners to account. I know you have very good relationships. I don't know how this story came to be. And thank you for joining us, by the way.
Sure. First off, I partnered on the piece with David, the great David Marinus, the two-time Pulitzer winner for the Washington Post, who did Bill Clinton's biography several years ago. So it wasn't just my story. It's been a big team effort. The Blackout series by the Washington Post sports section is basically a 9-part series and an attempt to take a look at why there aren't more black head coaches in the NFL, given that about 70% of the labor force is black, which is, you know, these guys spend their whole lives studying the game, and yet they're not proportionally represented among head coaches. There's only 3 black head coaches in the entire league. So we set out to look at that from every angle and possible. And one angle is, of course, from the owner's point of view. Jerry Jones was the only owner of 32 requests that we sent out who actually agreed to sit down and talk to us about this, which we give him a lot of credit for. We wanted to do a piece on an owner that looked at, generationally, how they were shaped, what shapes their attitudes, how their attitudes might have changed over the years towards racial justice issues in the NFL. And of course, Jerry Jones had that very famous instance where he linked arms with his players and took a knee during the whole controversy over social justice protests in the NFL. So that was the genesis of the piece. It was part of a larger project. We came across this photograph of Jones. It's at the start of his school year at North Little Rock High School. He's 15 years old. He's on the cusp of his 15th birthday, and he's very clearly identifiable in the photo, which ran on the front page of the New York Times in 1957. Because Little Rock was undergoing a real crisis over the desegregation of its schools, to the point that President Eisenhower had to send the 101st Airborne into Little Rock to quell the violence over black school kids trying to go to white schools. So we knew that Jerry Jones had witnessed or at least had lived through a very tough civil rights era in Little Rock. And we wanted to talk to him about that. And we just started to research it for the purpose of asking him questions when we came across that photo.
If someone says to you, Arkansas was racist in 1950s, you'd say, yes, of course, because of all the history you cite that you cite there. So, of course, somewhere that Jerry Jones would be descending from and around racism. The answer to that would be, of course, right?
Right. And not just Little Rock, although Little Rock was a very critical sort of nexus point in the school segregation fight. It was a huge national story at the time. It was the biggest hotspot on the map for this subject. And so we knew from as basic students of history that Jones and his family surely lived through that era. What we didn't know when we started out was that Jones had been directly involved in an incident on schoolhouse steps. Then the question becomes, okay, so he was there. What does that mean? What does it mean to him? What does it mean for the story? And what should the emphasis on it be? And those were all very delicate questions that Marinus and I had to sort through in putting the piece together.
Sally, is it fair to judge a person by a photograph that was taken when they were a child?
Of course not. Certainly not. What is fair is to ask him about what he witnessed, ask him what he experienced, ask him how his views may have changed, if they did change at all. How has he evolved on issues of social justice and racial justice? And the fact is that he has evolved, particularly recently. He started out as a real hardliner on the whole Colin Kaepernick crisis in the NFL. At one point, Jerry Jones said that the Dallas Cowboys would stand for the anthem and, quote, toe the line. Well, he's really softened on that. He's become a much more considered voice on the subject, partly thanks to his conversations with his Black vice president of personnel, Will McClay. So those are the sorts of things that we wanted to talk to him about. And we're really glad that he agreed to sit down and talk about it all. He's not defensive on the subject, as he told us, and as he's told others. You know, he feels very genuine in his own skin. And he tends to talk pretty forthrightly about these things. Now, his answers won't satisfy everybody. I mean, the mere fact that he was on the steps is a tough thing, because there were no real, you know, purely innocent bystanders that day. It was a day that became very physical for the Black kids who were on those steps. You had to run to get to the top of the steps ahead of them. There was a huge mob assembled. They were spit on. They were called the N-word. They were shoved off the steps. Crosses were burned at the opening home football game of North Little Rock High School. Eventually, bombs went off in downtown Little Rock. A Black photographer named Alex Wilson was beaten half to death near Central High School in Maine, Little Rock. So, you know, it's a very, very tough time. It was a huge national story. And Jones's presence there and his thoughts on the day and his thoughts on today are important to look at and to talk to NFL owners about.
Stugatz, I don't think I'm oversimplifying this, but Sally, please correct me if I am. What you're talking about two very accredited journalists basically pouring time and investment into a story of telling, how do we do this politely? Hey, Jerry Jones, have you realized that you descend pretty clearly from racism and that might infect your hiring practices or how you view the world as an 80-year-old billionaire, that you're coming to literally question a billionaire part of the power structure that is, you know, granting you an audience because he doesn't mind abiding this pressure that none of these other guys want to answer to. This is why you took up this story, no, Sally?
Oh, completely. Yeah, we took up the story because Jerry Jones is the single most influential owner in the NFL. He's called the Shadow Commissioner. And as he agreed in conversation with us, if Jerry Jones wants to move the needle on race and the NFL, it will move. He acknowledges that he has an influence and the Cowboys have an influence that no other team really has. They're such a powerful icon and he's such a powerful owner that he can move the ball on this issue. And so that's one reason why he thought it was important to talk to us, I think. So yeah, that was the genesis of the story. That's the real meaning of the story. Of course, people shouldn't be held responsible for what they did at 15. And of course, people shouldn't be held responsible for what their fathers thought or what their grandfathers thought. You know, Jones did not know that his grandfather was a member of the Capital Citizens Council, which was a very, very tough segregationist group that may have been behind some of the more violent things that happened in Little Rock. He did not know that. You know, that was news to him. So, you know, in some ways, we were telling him things that he'd never heard before. You know, so of course, you don't hold people responsible for that. But what you do, particularly when they're someone like Jerry Jones, who has so much influence, is you ask them about their own experiences and their own thoughts and their own evolution on this subject, because we have to have the frank conversation. Otherwise, you know, the coaches keep being met with this implacable silence and this real impasse on the subject. And so, you know, the quest here is for understanding, right?
It's interesting though, Sally, because you say the quest is for understanding, but if I'm not putting this too delicately when I say you've got two award-winning journalists going to ask Jerry Jones if he understands that he's racist or that he's imprinted by it, that whether the photograph excuses him or whether it's fair to go back 65 years or not, hey, do you realize that your history might infect the fact that you never hire a black dude in a position of power?
Right. I mean, that it was a tough conversation. I mean, what can I say? You know, we asked some very point blank questions. You know, probably the most point blank question of the day was, you know, Jones fervently believes that you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and that, you know, you have to really want one of these 32 jobs. They're almost impossible to get. He kept saying it's easier to get elected a senator than it is to get a head coaching job in the NFL. And that's probably true. And Jones's belief is that if you want it bad enough, you'll do some as what he called inordinate things to get there. You know, you really have to strive. But the tough question of the day in our conversation with him, which lasted, you know, about 2.5 hours, was, well, look, is it possible that these men are facing an obstacle that you're not acknowledging? Just as, you know, six black school kids, they were highly aspirational too, you know. Back in 1957, six kids want to walk up that step, those steps and get in that school to get a better education. Is it possible that they faced, you know, a real impasse and an obstacle they couldn't surmount? And so that question is relevant today. Are black men in the NFL facing problems that they themselves cannot surmount with pure effort?
Sally, thank you for the work and the reporting. Is there anything else that you feel the reader should be taking away from why it is that you reported this and what it is that you were doing here?
You know, I think there's a lot of debate about whether there really is a problem in the NFL. And the answer is a declarative yes. This is not some murky proportional statistical wrinkle where you go, oh, you know, should the percentage of black head coaches be higher given the overall representation of the population or something? Black men who have, the rare black man who has become a head coach in the NFL waited an average of 9 years longer for his opportunity to become a head coach. That's one of the things our data showed. There is a problem. It is a hardcore, real problem. And it's going to take a guy like Jerry Jones to acknowledge that impasse and address it and realize that, no, you can't just pull yourself up by your bootstraps as a black man in the NFL. There's something more going on there that's getting in their way.
Who's going to own the Commanders?
I have no idea, quite frankly. I mean, this is, I probably shouldn't say this, but I hope it's not Jeff Bezos. You know, I hope he buys a team out west. You know, I think it would be better for the paper if we just cover this team without that complication. But, you know, so that's how I feel.
That's very selfish. That's very selfish, Sally. You don't want the conflict with the newspaper to come over his ownership of the Commanders?
That's her boss too, right?
And it's her boss. It's also brave.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather keep it clean, you know. I'd rather him own some other team outside of town, but that's just me. But, you know, good luck to him. And the main issue is, you know, it doesn't need to be Dan Snyder ever again. I mean, anyone will be better than this guy. I mean, it's just the league cannot survive another year with Dan Snyder as an NFL owner and leave any shred of its reputation intact. This man should not be owning anything. He should not be in charge of anybody's life.
Sally, thank you for being on with us. Thanks for the work.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sally.
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Levitard.
If all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be.
Stugatz.
Standing outside with my mouth open wide. Ah, 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 ah. If all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah, no, it was 100% a tampon. That's a tampon, too. They put tampons in their nose. For Canada, I understand it serves a great purpose, but you can cut off the string.
Well, I might get stuck up there.
I assume they put the same product just in different packaging and give it a different name just to like
for men.
Yeah,
that's what most cosmetic products for men actually are. They just make the packaging black and they give it like a name like
this is really cool.
Yeah. Cool.
For men.
Because if they pulled out a tampon, you're not
the nose plug,
yeah. Right?
Man packs,
Mr. Nipple, yeah. For guys with big dicks.
Yeah.
Your nipples are big, but so is your dick.
Yeah.
Stugatz, have you come around on soccer a little bit? Come on. You've been watching a little bit. Admit it. You like soccer a little bit. You did a couple God Bless Footballs.
Yeah.
You like it a little.
We did one. Let's be clear. We did one. We have another perhaps that we'll do today or tomorrow.
You like it a little bit more than you did a year ago.
Stugatz, admit it. You like having something to gamble on at 8 a.m.
I do.
I had a horror. Whittingham's in a bad position here because I told Whittingham.
You had a what?
Through my shame, I told Whittingham, I've bet 4 World Cup overs, and I have a total of 1 goal in all of the games combined.
You're the reason.
And I keep betting, thinking, 2 goals. Come on, they'll just be an outburst. And then, and I get nothing. You guys, I now look back at your hug over the 1 goal against Wales. It might be the only one you get in the entire tournament. Yeah. It might be.
You're starting to get it. World Cup goals are hard to come by.
Yeah.
Soccer goals are hard. And when you wait 4 years to see a goal, and in the U.S.'s case, 8 years to see a goal, there's a massive explosion of emotion. And how about that really fascinating, entertaining 0-0 draw that happened on the day after
Epic.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah, a great draw.
Against England.
How is it a great draw?
Because
explain
England is
me.
One of the favorites in the tournament, and we needed that. Now we control our own destiny.
Right.
It's encouraging because you went toe-to-toe with one of the tournament favorites, and you were, even though you split the points, a better team. Everyone.
Better chances.
Everyone agrees the U.S. was better on the day.
Mm.
And that it buys you nothing.
It got us a point. That's what it did.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because I was thinking about this. I have enjoyed the soccer because there are stakes attached to it. But when I hear and read that the USA dominated a game in which they scored the same amount of goals as England, why not, like in boxing, have judges who say, hey, you know what? 0-0 draw.
Again, changing the rules.
No, I think this is a good rule change. I'm serious. I'm trying to help soccer out here.
Throw it to the judges. They'd never be corrupt.
Well, no, in boxing, Dan, they do it all the time, okay? Winner by draw, okay?
No.
Well, and you get 2 points, and the loser gets 1 point. If you dominate a game because it's very hard to score, and the judges say, hey, you know what? We think the United States dominated that game.
Celebrity judges.
Why do you dismiss,
celebrity judges.
Why do you dismiss the value of the draw? You love a draw in the NFL. When the Colts have one, you never stop talking about it.
And why is your,
that's a big draw.
Why is your solution? Why is your solution? The one thing in sports that everybody can agree on is they hate going to the judges in combat sports.
But they're celebrities in this case.
Okay. Well, what else do you do when there are no PKs? I mean,
well, you only have to deal with that for one more group.
You will admit that this wasn't like, because this was the most watched soccer game in 6,000 years or something, right? Like in America, like
I saw
the stats.
Well, it's the most watched game ever, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Ad infinitum.
But like, it's not like for the casual. It wasn't.
Wait,
it wasn't.
Does that include World Cup finals?
No, it's U.S. men's just national team. Yeah. U.S. men's national
Jessica,
team.
Jessica, why did you make a face?
Ad infinitum.
Why was it ad infinitum? Winning,
I mean, because 6,000 years is limiting the scope. It's just ever.
The country's not even close to 6,000 years old, so the exaggeration would have been fine.
Ad infinitum. Mm. She felt it seemed like she had been hit in the side of the head with
a
wet fish.
I thought he misspoke.
Ad infinitum.
A man pawn.
I almost said, God bless you.
I'm like, is Woody okay? Same.
But you'd agree that with the most watched game ever, right? Like, you wouldn't want the casual walking away being like, man, this was boring.
It wasn't boring.
No, but it was boring.
You know what, though?
Score some goals. Yeah, no, I watched it. I was like, come on, let's do something already.
I could see where someone comes off of that game saying that was boring.
I think the ending was boring. Like, it felt like a letdown when the game ended, but it was an exciting match.
The guy with the dyed hair, does he practice like on bigger goals or something? He was kicking him into Jupiter. Like, come on.
Yeah, Weston McKennie had a few that flew into the stands.
But that's what happens when you're excited and you're young and you get a chance right in front of the goal. That is so easy to fly over the net, and it takes a lot of finesse to get that thing in the goal.
Because in a 0-0 draw, when you say the other team severely outplayed the other team, right? What you're saying essentially is the United States choked. That's what you're saying. You're saying they outplayed them, they didn't execute, they didn't put the ball in the net, and you're saying they choked.
Why do I always have to put
things
in these
terms
for you?
Haven't they win a game?
Yeah, I mean, it's
guys,
fair.
This is what you guys...
they outplayed them, they should have won the game.
This is what you guys...
I mean, he's not wrong. They should have won the game.
He's right, even.
The part that you're up against, and this is where Stugatz always wins, because Stugatz left here cackling over Thanksgiving, his greatest victories, like, I'm going to just say USA, USA. I believe them to be the favorites. And when I get all the 0-0 games, I can then go back to making fun of soccer.
Yeah.
Like, he could.
They are a lot tomorrow, Dano.
And so, Mike, what the losing argument for both Mike and Whittingham today that Billy and Stugatz will be able to cackle about, and no matter how much Chris Cody says, didn't you watch the game, is at the end of it. No goal scored, 0-0 drawn. That's pleasing to no one.
Unless you sort of understand the backdrop and the U.S. The U.S.'s history against England.
Unless you know what you're talking about.
That's right, because England is much better. England is much better than the United States.
I think it was kind of disappointing because you go into an Iran match now, an Iran match, and you need. Why did I also repronounce match? An Iran match.
You were fine the first time.
Yeah, I was.
You stumbled over Iran. And
well,
you
because
made it
yeah,
Iran.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I just go with Iran. Sometimes
this is the rare
Iran.
Game three that's also a game seven. We can agree on that, right?
Everything's on the line. Yeah,
there's a goal of South Korea scores. Mm-hmm. All right, 2-1 in that one. Both teams to score cashes. I would say that I'd much rather be playing Iran.
So bad.
I'd much rather be playing Iran.
I took it
when I only need a draw. And I thought the U.S. should have pressed more late in that game against England for the result, for the winning result, because Iran's going to be really difficult to score on. And now, you know the domino meme? Woody had this take yesterday when we were watching the game. You know the domino meme? The small domino is a 19-year-old admin for the U.S. men's Twitter account hitting that first domino, and the big domino is World War III. And that's what happened yesterday. By an admin on Twitter not running anything by the government or the players and deciding to make a political statement by removing the Islamic Republic's logo from the Iranian flag. And now you have 19 and 21-year-old guys, although they should be able to answer these questions, having to be asked about this big geopolitical significance when someone was making a one-time statement that should have been in consultation with everybody.
But didn't U.S. Soccer have a statement that they put out with it? Like, it wasn't just one person on Twitter.
Yeah, the way that I saw it happen was they were asked about it and they said it was a one-time show. And since then, all the flags have been restored. It was a one-time show of support for the women of Iran. And Iran is calling for the banishment of the U.S. from this tournament because there's an article in FIFA that says if you disrespect a flag, you're suspended 10 games. So Iran is obviously super insulted by this. The players had no idea this was coming. Well, so another layer of drama to a matchup that only the World Cup can provide, which is Iran versus U.S. with everything surrounding those two countries' politics.
Okay, Mike, so we cannot take the politics out of the sports no matter what angle we arrive at it from. You've seen the Netflix documentary about just how corrupt FIFA is. The idea that Qatar didn't exist and 10 years ago just had so much money that they built the stadium, Stugatz, that would house this thing, and it was so corrupt that they moved it to winter because the conditions you could not play during the summer. It's, I think, $7.5 billion to just FIFA for the rights to just put this in a place that doesn't make sense. And when I ask you this question, Stugatz, because they're doing morally abhorrent here as part of the post game, and they're covering all this stuff even as it's dirty. When I say to you thousands of migrant workers died according to Amnesty International, and there are questions about the numbers, but when I say they died in the construction of those stadiums to get to these games in a nowhere city invented for the purpose of just bribing this and becoming legitimate by hosting the world now with human rights atrocities all around them. When I say to you, much like with the Ray Rice video, hey, what do you think domestic abuse looks like? And then you see the video and you're like, oh, that's what it looks like. Thousands of migrant workers may have died in the building of those stadiums. What do you think that looks like?
What, the thousands of workers dying to provide us with a World Cup? What do I think it looks like? I think it looks disgusting. No. I think it looks gross. I think it looks like an event that should never have happened place.
I'm not asking you to have the moral outrage that everyone has about this because we all know the compromise we've made. We've done it in exchange for 0-0 draws. What I'm saying to you is, physically, what do you imagine it looks like, thousands of workers dying? Because what it looks like is migrant slaves who don't have actual freedom, came from other countries thinking there was money there, living in slovenly conditions, washing out of toilets, ate to a room, dying in heat that was so oppressive that they had to wear garb because it was just burning their skin because it's so hot, and they die, and the numbers are skewed, and it's complicated because the Qatari government says it's, you know, natural causes. And, you know, this thing, it's awful. The death of these people by the thousands, reportedly, in the building of these stadiums, that's where we started. To invent a city that would be host to these games, as now the Saudis buy golf too, and this is how you get in the game, by just purchasing everybody, and we're going to celebrate the hell out of it if the United States scores a single goal against Iran.
Is Messi on Inter Miami, or what's going on with that? Like, what's happening there?
He said he hasn't agreed yet, right?
No, he's not on Inter Miami.
Oh.
He's on PSG.
Well, Twitter told me.
Twitter's been saying that. I've been telling you that for a couple of years, that the expectation is Messi comes this summer to Inter Miami. However, he is waiting to make a final decision
and
on
Ronaldo's
that.
And Ronaldo's out there, too. I mean, Inter Miami's going to be a juggernaut, huh? Messi, Ronaldo. I mean, this is going to be the center of soccer.
The Ronaldo stuff is not real.
What?
Ronaldo stuff is not real. They're not signing Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, Why
not?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
Because they got to pay Lionel Messi.
Well, no. Let's.
You think they'll shed their Ronaldo spotlight? Cool. I mean,
John Ruiz. Can't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe. What's Life Wallet up to? I mean, let's all pitch in. If we're going to make soccer a thing, like, everyone, soccer has our attention right now, right? The most watched game in the history of ad infinitum. Like, let's have everybody come here. Let's build this stadium once and for all.
Build it.
And then have these two guys team up and join forces, and let's make Inter Miami a thing.
Messi's not enough. You want more than that.
Well, yeah.
Mike Ryan's been telling you for
years.
Go big or
go home.
Mike Ryan's been telling you for years.
Do you not want them on the same team?
I just think I think you're blowing past Mike Ryan wanting the credit for being the one who's reported before everyone. This report has come out a dozen times since Mike Ryan reported it. Why is no one giving Mike Ryan the credit on?
Well, because he just said that they're not.
Messi to Miami.
He said he's not on Miami.
He's not on Miami.
Yeah.
But Mike's reporting that it might happen. I'm reporting that both Messi and Ronaldo will play for Inter Miami.
That's how you
how
do
about
it.
That?
That's going to be good.
This Iran-U.S. preview really took a lot of turns.
Why can't they be on the same team?
Which one would you rather have?
Oh, yeah. Classic Marino Messi. Montana here.
Mm-hmm. That actually is the Marino Messi Montana of the world, really.
Yeah, I know. Right. I'm a soccerhead.
Messi or Ronaldo. Mike Ryan, can you get me the sound from the full cast, folks? Because, Stugatz, we're going to make some fun of you here.
Great.
Because for years you have been crushing Harbaugh. What's he ever done? Fire him. Get rid of him. You don't wait this out. Fraud. Harbaugh's terrible. And Harbaugh, with a lesser team and lesser players by every evaluation that the scouts would give you, just dragged Ohio State with the remnants of whatever, you know, lead on the conference Urban Meyer bestowed upon them years ago. And so here's Spencer Hall, and this is After Dark, the podcast with Metalark Media, after midnight, and he's gone insane because it's the emotion and the intoxicants of college football. This is crazy talk from Spencer Hall, because Ohio State's supposed to be better and they just got dragged by 3 touchdowns.
Ryan Day, how do you have that much talent and you don't know what to do on 3rd and 3? It's wild to me. It should be that easy. Run the touchdown play. You have better players. Dare them to play one-on-one with the guys who aren't as good. Get arrogant. The lack of arrogance is insane to me. Because that's all I hear from Ohio State fans, is how you should be more respected, how your program should do more. You have like 5,000 first-round picks. Ari Wasserman pointed out on Twitter that you guys have like 10 more 5-star recruits than Michigan does. Where were any of them in the fourth quarter? Getting trampled by a guy with one hand who wasn't even the starting running back. At home, you have that big stupid flagpole and you invite everyone to come in and look at your teeny little fascist auditorium that you call a stadium in your sad sweatshirts and your absolute bullshit traditions, and you embarrass yourselves. I get to say all of this because none of you believed me. None of you. You're not even fun to go back and forth with. You're just dull. You're duller to want respect.
This is going well.
Go get thrown out of a 24-hour fitness again.
You can't. It's always open. How could they throw you out?
We'll see. That's the problem. You throw them out. They come back in.
They go to the one across town.
They go to Planet Fitness. They set off the lunk alarm. They get thrown out again. They sit in the car and they're like, I'm thinking about Debbie. I shouldn't have screwed that up.
Full cast After Dark. Stugatz, who's going to end up being the 4 teams?
I can tell you this. I don't want to hear from anybody that Ohio State still deserves to be in. They say themselves, okay? Ryan Day says it. The team says it. It's all about Michigan. It's all about Michigan. I mean, this season comes down to one game, the game against Michigan. Every season comes down to one game, the game against Michigan. They had their chance at home, and they got drubbed. And Ohio State, because the rest of the schedule, Dan, is not great. It's not. I mean, they beat Notre Dame, and that's fine, and Notre Dame's turned out to be a pretty decent team, but the rest of the schedule is pretty average. They had one job this season, to beat Michigan at home. They had their opportunity. They failed. They should not be the 4th team in the college football playoff. I think Alabama's getting in. Saban had a weekend. Clemson lost. LSU lost. I mean, Saban had another weekend where if USC loses or if TCU loses, Nick Saban's getting in with two losses. He had a great joke after the Auburn game. He had a cut on his eye. He was bleeding. All the teams he needed to lose, they lost. What a great weekend for Nick Saban. I like Nick Saban.
That whole take was just to set up. I want Alabama to get in as the fourth team.
I do too. I do too. I want them to win the national championship.
Yes, me too. Yes.
I want them to win the whole thing.
Yeah. What is wrong with you guys? We celebrated the death of the pages in the local hour. Two lost Alabamas. Get them out of my life.
No,
they're gone.
I like them.
Yeah. Billy, you feel bad for the Patriots and you're rooting for Alabama.
Yeah, I like
Saban. Who are you?
Lovable Saban underdogs.
Saban and Belichick documentary.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you. On this guy.
Here's the question, though. How are they going to jump Ohio State? Because they don't play again.
They can't. They lost twice, and Ohio State lost to what will probably be, if not the number two, then maybe even the number one team in the country.
Ooh, Ohio State is, but they're done playing as well.
I know, but they've got one loss. No, Alabama's got two.
I understand that, okay? But, Billy, here's how it happens.
Okay.
Because Ohio State's not getting in. I don't care.
Okay, good. Okay?
They don't deserve to be in. They had their chance. They blew it.
They're probably going to get in.
Well, no, USC loses in the Pac-12 championship game or Endor.
Andor.
Because both of these things could happen.
Thing, yeah.
TCU loses in the Pac-12 championship game, then Alabama gets in. If both those teams lose, they're getting in. If one team loses, they deserve to be in. I'm not certain they'll get in, but they deserve to be in.
Stugatz, what if Michigan loses to Purdue in the Big Ten championship game?
Because then that loss for Ohio State looks even worse.
Yeah.
Because they lose to a team by almost 30 that also lost to Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
So then
it's not going to happen, though.
Michigan and Ohio State might be out then, and then you're looking at Alabama and Tennessee getting in?
What if LSU still beats Georgia in the SEC championship game?
Wow.
That works against Saban. That would work because Georgia's still going to get in, yes. Georgia has to.
But then Ohio State has to get in.
Ohio State's not getting in. I don't care what anyone tells me. They don't deserve to get in. They were blown out at home by Michigan, who was without their best offensive player. They don't deserve to get in. Nope. But the Buckeyes are done.
What is this? I don't care what anyone tells me. Soon they will just tell you who's in the playoff. Like, what do you mean I don't care what anyone tells me?
I don't have to accept their rankings.
That's true.
I don't have to accept their playoff.
Okay.
If Ohio State gets in, I mean, listen up, committee. I'm not watching.
Okay.
How's that sound?
All right.
You should make your own playoff.
You're
going to invite all the four teams to your own playoff.
Listen, you're going to penalize Alabama for having a 3-point loss at Tennessee with their quarterback coming off, missing 2 weeks, coming back, played a great game. They lost by 3 points to Tennessee. Tough place to play.
The rankings,
and then at LSU, Stugatz, a very difficult place
Stugatz,
to play.
The rankings,
they lost by a point.
Stugatz, the rankings can't every year just be Stugatz knows Alabama's really good.
They can and they should be.
Yeah.
That's basically what they are. I mean,
they'd be the favorites.
Give higher, like, quote-unquote, higher pedigree teams better rankings
week after week, year after year. It is so stupid that you're all in agreement now with Nick Saban as lovable underdog.
Oh, I love that guy.
You guys are all in agreement. We'd all rather watch Alabama. We don't want to watch TCU.
It's the best four teams. You know Alabama's going to play a tough game against any of those four teams that make it. Would you put, if you put Alabama and TCU against each other next week, who's the favorite?
Jessica,
who's the betting favorite?
Alabama would be a 14-point favorite.
I mean, right. Alabama would be 14-point favorites. That's not the point of why we watch football for 3 months.
I don't know.
The point of football for three months is not just, let's all watch this thing, and then at the end decide Alabama's better than all of them because I saw them in a game.
No. Chris Whittingham, the committee says every year their goal is to put the best four teams in.
Right.
And they make choices inexplicably sometimes where you think they're probably just going off vibes here. Yeah, this would be a vibe-based choice, and it might not be the wrong one because Alabama, the two games that they've lost have been extremely
close. How far would I have to push it then? If they lost to Texas A&M by a field goal, like, as they almost – no, I'm saying, how far would I have to make it if Alabama were 8-4? But
they almost lost to Texas. They almost lost to Texas A&M.
If they
is
lost,
Bryce
if they,
Young healthy?
Yes,
like, I need
if,
to know.
If they lost all of those games, if they were 9-3, if they were 8-4, if they were 7-5, would you still say that Alabama should get in over TCU?
Now you're creating
an argument that we're not even making. We're talking about this year's Alabama teams, the games that they've lost, the games that they've won, the quarterback that won the Heisman last year that's been hurt most of the season, and the fact that we know they can play any of the four teams that can
we
make it
finally
in the
got here.
Hard.
Jessica, I am thrilled that you got us here because we are finally in the place where we can all acknowledge, hey, this is just craps and giggles semi-pro ball. And we think the four best teams, Alabama's always one of them. So we'll always put Alabama in because we're all right about that. We don't know shit about what college kids are going to do from Saturday to Saturday. Clemson this week did the play I want them doing all the time. They're up 2 scores and they say we're going to receive the kickoff and we're going to do the huddle in the middle of the field and you don't know who has the football. It's just five of our guys in a cluster. I want entire...
They got cute and they fumbled and
then they lose the game by a score. Mm-hmm. But I want everyone to have fun and we all know that if Alabama's in the game, we want to watch it at our party.
Yes, and it's not because I hate all of the remaining top six teams that can make it in the playoff with a burning passion. It's not because most of them are rivals of the college that I went to, and it's not because the fact that if any of them won, it would make me want to literally cry and scream into a pillow for the next 8 months. It's because I think Alabama is probably one of the best four teams in the country.
Yeah,
but they always are.
Yeah.
And they will be for each of the next 10 years. Why even play the games? Just put them in the fun. We'll take it that way, too.
But, Dan, they'd be favored over Michigan. They'd be favored over USC. The only team they're not favored against is Georgia. And that's debatable. I mean,
well, but again, they when I say they almost lost, it was a play in both the games against Texas and Texas A&M that didn't turn out to be any good. Alabama's got a impressive victory on their schedule.
Texas. That's probably one of
with their backup quarterback.
Mississippi State's ranked, I think, still.
Mississippi.
It's not a great Alabama team.
Anymore.
You guys are basically putting them in on reputation. It's not even this year's team
what
that
do
you're doing it on.
What do you think the committee does?
I mean, but Texas,
what do you think the preseason ranking, AP rankings, which have a huge effect on the midseason AP poll rankings, by the way. What do you think they do? They put Notre Dame 5 this year with...
Put Miami 16.
They put a bunch of teams in that just go off of vibes from the season before,
Mike,
even though the rosters changed.
TCU could have lost to Texas. They could have lost to Baylor. Michigan could have lost to Illinois. Like, there's lots of teams there that could have lost other teams.
Miami lost to Pitt 16-42 this weekend.
Yeah, this is where I say that Mike
has skated. 16 was the preseason ranking, by the way.
Mike, Miami loses.
Not enough blood this month? Sure, what do you need?
Tampon?
Man pong.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.